Our epistle for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. I pray you not to be disheartened at my tribulations for you, for they are your glory. For this reason I bend my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth receives its name, that he may grant you from his glorious riches to be strengthened with power through his Spirit, unto the progress of the inner man, and to have Christ dwelling through faith in your hearts, so that being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with the saints, with all the saints, what is the breadth and the height and the length and the depth, and to know Christ's love, which surpasses knowledge, in order that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to accomplish all things in a measure far beyond what we ask or conceive, in keeping with the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus down through all the ages of time without end. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. At that time, when Jesus entered the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to take food, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" But they remained silent. And he took and healed him and let him go. Then addressing them, he said, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, and will not immediately draw him up on the Sunday?" But they could give him no answer to these things. But he also spoke a parable to those invited, observing how they were choosing the first places at table. And he said to them, "When thou art invited to a wedding feast, do not recline in the first place, lest perhaps one more distinguished than you have been invited by him. And he who invited thee and him come and say to thee, 'Make room for this man,' and then thou begin with shame to take the last place. But when thou art invited, go and recline in the last place, that when he who invited thee comes in, he may say to thee, 'Friend, go up higher,' and thou wilt be honored in the presence of all who are at table with thee. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we end with today's gospel talking about humility and how this is so important in our spiritual life. What is humility? Humility is truth. And to realize the truth, not as we perceive it, but as it is. And understand that we cannot comprehend the whole truth. Many truths are revealed to us which we cannot fully wrap our mind around. Like, for example, the Godhead. It is here for us in time to decide to start that journey which will last an eternity. To receive our Lord and to have our heart open to him and his grace, and to have that relationship with him. There are other truths that are revealed to us which I don't think we pay too much attention to, and we should pay way more attention to them. And among these truths, one is the truth about the angels, your angel, my angel, the prince of the angels, whose feast we celebrate tomorrow, the seven angels who stand before God. These are not fairy tales. The reality of the spiritual realm is true. In this room, everyone you're sitting next to has a guardian angel, and you have yours standing next to you, right here, right now. Something where parents don't take the time to teach their children. If only we paid more attention to the angels how much better we would be, how much we would try and strive to avoid occasions of sin. But why is it that we have a guardian angel? It is how God views us. The value that we have comes by the fact that He values us infinitely. And the angels love us on account of that love that the good Lord has for each and every one of us. But there is an aspect about the angels that I think it's important for us to realize. They are pure spirits. They don't have bodies. What do they look like? Well, some people have been able to see at least a version of an angel, but they're without physicality. They're spiritual, and we'll understand their beauty when we get to heaven. But our guardian angels are so powerful. They, like us, are creatures, but they are pure beings. They're not metaphysical. When they were created, they were endowed with special gifts. And we know the story of the test. We don't know what the test was, but they were tested. We know what the answer to that test was by a third of them. It was non servium, I will not serve. And how many times have we found ourselves saying the same thing? I will not do that. Well, I don't like that. We pick and choose. We think we can make our own commandments and rules and laws, and folly and foolish. Man as a whole thinks they can do that because they have a free will. No, free will is not about making the rules. Free will is about choosing whether or not you want to abide by the rules or not. Free will is not whether you decide what is good and what is bad. It is there for you to decide to be good or to be bad. Free will is for you to decide whether you want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell. God just, when you go stand before Him, He doesn't put you in hell. He spent too much to want you to be with Him forever in heaven. You decide, though. He will not infringe upon goodwill, upon free will, because free will is the element that is so necessary where it concerns love. You can't have love without free will. You can't force love. And the angels, a third of them, made their choice. Because they're pure spirits, the choice was instantaneous and was forever. They were endowed with high intelligence so they could make that choice. Once an angel makes a choice, that's it. But our guardian angel was one who passed the test. He chose to love God and to do God's will. Our guardian angel is one who has seen or does see the face of God as He guards us and guides us. And so I'd like you to ask yourself what your relationship with your guardian angel is. Is it an afterthought? Something we hear about from time to time? Or do you have a good relationship, a daily relationship with your guardian angel who has been given to you to light, to guard, to rule, to guide? And we should just not call on our guardian angel when we're having a rough time. We should call Him every day. Have Him a part of our day because He is a part of our day. But He won't infringe upon that goodwill. He waits for us to invite Him. He won't infringe upon that free will, I should say, because He waits for us to invite Him. Invite Him into our day. Invite Him to work with us. Now, many different times our guardian angel has helped us that we have no clue, especially when we were small. But now He waits for us to invite Him into our day to help us, primarily to help us know, love, and serve God in this world, in order so that we can be forever happy with Him in heaven. We have the great princes of the angels, through which we know Michael, Gabriel, Raphael. Michael, the warrior of God. He's the one who gave the alternate cry in answer to the rebellious spirits. Who are you to question God? Quis unt Deus? Who is like unto God? And that's the same cry that we should make to ourselves and to remember in all humility. We are not God. We're creatures. We don't make the rules. We've been given an intellect and a free will to know the rules and a free will to choose to abide by the rules in order so that we can be a part of God's love. If you love Me, keep My commandments. That's what He tells us. Gabriel, I recently found this out interesting about St. Gabriel. Gabriel is the archangel of the Holy Spirit. He is also the guardian angel of the humanity of Christ. He's the one who brought the message to our queen and our mother. He was the one who witnessed the Word made flesh. The moment when she became his mother and he became man. That infinite act of love, and he was witness to it. It said that St. Gabriel was one who went to our Lord after he was tempted and at the garden before his arrest and that passion and death that he went through for us. Raphael, we read about him, and he's the one actually in the book of Tobias who reveals to us that there are 7 great archangels who stand before God. We don't know the names of the other except through perhaps private revelation, but the 3 that we know of are Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. Raphael was healer, friend, and guide. And remember, whenever the good Lord reveals to us something, it's there for us to help us. These 3 archangels are meant, are revealed to us to help us. And they work in concert with our guardian angel. You see, the angels, they work in concert together. If only we'd tap into that a little bit better, we'd have better relationships with each other. That person down the street that you drive by and that thought comes to you is like, oh, he's up to no good. That person has a guardian angel. Maybe instead of judging that person, we ask our guardian angel to communicate with his guardian angel in petition for that poor soul. It is said by St. Alphonsus Liguori that they who have a devotion to the guardian angels, it's like predestination. Like predestination, not predestination. Because that devotion to the guardian angels, if it's true, will help us on our journey, in this journey called life. Because we'll have more than just ourselves to get us from one day to the next until we get to that day which leads us into eternity. On the Feast of the Guardian Angels, the epistle that the Church gives us is from the book of Exodus. And it says, I will send my angel who shall go before thee and keep thee in thy journey and bring thee unto the place that I have prepared. Take notice of him and hear his voice, and do not think him one to be condemned. For he will not forgive when thou hast sinned, and my name is in him. But if thou wilt hear his voice and do all that I speak, I will be an enemy to thy enemies, and will afflict them that afflict thee, and my angel shall go before thee. It's revealed to us in Scripture, your guardian angel, powerful. We oftentimes pay attention to the devils, and we think, oh, how horrible they are. Oh, no, our angels are more powerful. The slightest glimpse of your guardian angel's beauty is more powerful than all hell together, because the beauty that our angels hold is the beauty of God. Work on your devotion to your guardian angel. Make it a reality. Be humble enough to see this truth, to abide by this truth day in and day out. You'll find the benefits of it. The angels are there to help us. We see the evil in the world. It's great. But God's goodness is greater. I'd like to end today's sermon with a hymn that many of you may have heard before, and maybe some of you haven't, but it's the hymn found in the office for the Feast of St. Michael. It's also found at the beginning of the chaplet to St. Michael. And it goes, O Jesus, life spring of the soul, the Father's power and glory bright, thee with the angels we extol, from thee they draw their life and light. Thy thousands and thousands hosts are spread, embattled over the Azar sky, but Michael bears a standard dread and lifts the mighty cross on high. He in that sign the rebel powers did with their dragon prince expel and hurled them from the heaven high towers down like a thunderbolt to hell. Grant us with Michael still, O Lord, against the prince of pride to fight, so may a crown be our reward before the Lamb's pure throne of light. To God the Father and Son and Holy Paraclete, to thee, as evermore hath been before, be glory through eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.